The key to spiritual growth, unlocking the mysteries of God. Why is it that some men grow and others just, they just don't get it? What do I mean by that? Let's take a situation where the same church, same pastor, same preaching, 10 years, two members, same church, same pastor, same preaching for 10 years. One grows tremendously and the other just doesn't get it. Why? How do you explain that? What's the reason for that? Why is truth that can be so apparent to some, why is it hidden to so many? And Jesus deals with this in a very powerful and a wonderful way. And I just wanted you to, I want to go through this together this morning. The answer is found in a parable. And this parable is in three out of four gospels. They call them the synoptic gospels because they see with the same eye. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So this parable is in all three of the first gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 13. It's in Luke chapter 8. It's in Mark chapter 4. So it's important. All three of the gospel writers set it forth. And we're going to break this down. Because this parable addresses the question of why some get it and why some don't. And so we're going to break it down in this way. We are going to look at the parable. And then at the end of the parable, Jesus makes a simple declaration. He just makes a simple, short declaration. After the declaration, his disciples ask a question. Because they know he's trying to say something and they haven't got it. So they ask a question. Then he gives them the answer. He answers their question. Then he explains the parable. After he explains the parable, he gives an illustration to underscore the answer. And then after the illustration, after we look at that, I want us to see what the implication is for us. Okay? So, alright, so let's start with the parable itself. What parable am I talking about? I'm talking about the parable of the sower. You're familiar with the parable. I'm not going to go into it in major detail, but a sower went forth to sow his seeds. And as he scattered his seed, some seed fell on hard and uncultivated soil. In other words, the path. It's not been plowed. He didn't plan to grow anything there, but some seed falls on it. Some seed fell on some shallow soil. Still rocky. It was shallow, but there was a lot of rocks in it. It allowed for germination, but it didn't allow for any development of roots. Then some seeds fell on some soil that looked pretty good for a while. You know, like most gardens, when you till your garden, it looks really good. Mine used to. My garden looked as good as everyone else right after I tilled it. But if I didn't pay as much attention to it as the person who kept going out there and weeding it every week, you know what happens? Those thorns and thistles that are there already in the soil, they spring up. They catch up with what you've planted. And if they're not attended to, they'll take over. And then some seed fell into very good soil. Good because it was plowed good. And it was well cared for from beginning to end. So that it... You know, if you don't take the weeds out, the weeds are going to take your garden out, right? That's just, it's one or the other. If you let it go and you let the weeds grow, they win. But this soil, the good soil, was well tilled and well cared for, and the fruit reached to maturity. So that's the basic parable. That's what Jesus said. Then he makes a declaration. And here's the declaration. And if you're not careful, you can read right over it. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is the key. This is the key to the question, why do some men just grow exponentially and others they just don't get it? This is the key. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what does he mean? How is this a key? Well, The disciples were wondering. This is where they had the question, because they could differentiate something. So here's what the disciples asked Jesus. Why do you speak to them in parables? Because a parable is kind of like a riddle. It literally means to speak alongside. And instead of being direct and just telling you outright what I'm saying, you have to spend some time on it, thinking about it, if you're going to get it. So they ask him, how come? Why do you speak to them in parables? And the implication was, you explain it to us, but why are you just speaking to them in parables? He gives the answer. Okay, here's his answer. Now, I hope you can spend some time on this, because I hope you'll begin to get the whole picture starting right now. And he answered to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away from him. So Jesus was saying that he's giving the explanation and clarity to the disciples, but he's not going to give it to the people? Is that what it appears he's saying? Someone just shook their head no. But that's what he said. It's been given to you, but it's not been given to them. Now, I want you to wrestle with it. They were wrestling with it. It should cause you to wrestle. That appears to be partiality. That appears to be unfair, to give the explanation to some and not give it. That's what it appears. And Jesus left them hang there for a little bit. Just like I'm going to let you hang there for just a little bit and go on. After he gives them the answer, he then gives the explanation. Let me read the whole rest of that passage about his answer. All right. He answered to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. You got that part. And he goes on to say, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see. Hearing, they don't hear. Okay? Nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, but you shall not understand. And in seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has become like calloused or dull, have grown dull. For their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and then they would turn and I would heal them. So the answer is, I speak to them in parables that the prophecy of Isaiah would be fulfilled. In seeing, they don't see. In hearing, they don't hear. You know what? That happens nearly every Sunday in church. Someone is seeing and not seeing. Someone's hearing my voice and not hearing a word spiritually. And someone is thinking about the message and still not understanding in the heart. This happens all the time. And our Lord was honest. Our Lord saw it. He saw human nature. And he told the disciples, this is why. And then he explains the parable. Then he gives the explanation. And here's the explanation. And you're familiar with it. What is the seed that falls on the path? He said the seed that falls on the path and where the birds of the air come and snatch it up before it's even had a time to penetrate the soil. That's the word that the hard of heart hearer hears. He just has a hard heart. It doesn't penetrate him at all, and the devil snatches it away. It makes no impact on his life at all. Been there, done that. That's the first soil. Second soil, shallow soil. The initial response is good. Jesus said he believes for a while, even with joy. But because there is no root in himself, he has no root, he quickly falls away. When trouble or persecution because of the word happened, he just falls away real quick. It doesn't last. It's short-lived. That's the soil number two. The third soil, which we talked about, this third soil starts off well. But what does he say? What are the thorns and the thistles that springs up? Jesus said they were the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. What do? They choke the word. They choke the word. In other words, a person gets so preoccupied by his own business and his own things, he gives less and less attention to the word. It has less and less place in his life. He spends less and less time in the truth of God and more time in his own business. And slowly but surely, the truth of the scripture is choked out of his life. And it never is able to bear good fruit. Then the last soil, Jesus said the good soil is like a man who through a good and noble heart, he hears the word, he keeps it, and through endurance, he brings forth a crop. So now the disciples have had this answer. He explains the parable, and he senses they still don't get it. And I think, like most of us, have read these passages in the Bible before. And I think a lot of us haven't got it either. So, he gives an illustration. In the illustration is where we will discover the real reason why. And with the illustration, we'll be able to look back and the rest of the parable will begin to make very clear sense. Let's look at the illustration. Here's the illustration. Jesus' own illustration. Because remember, this is right after the explanation, which came after their question and his answer. He said to them, "No one lights a lamp, and then right after lighting a lamp, sticks a bowl on top of it, or sticks it under a bed." No one does that, do they? Where do you put a lamp? If you're going to light a lamp, where do you put it? You're going to put it on a stand so that it can give light to those who come into the house. Right? And then he says, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed. For nothing hidden that will not be made known and come to light. Therefore," and listen very carefully, "therefore, take heed how you hear." There's the illustration. Now, what does this all mean? What does it all mean? Take heed how you hear. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Right? Whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Here's the illustration. Why would he say, "No one lights a lamp to cover it"? What's the illustration pointing back to? Remember the question? What were the disciples' question? Why do you speak to them in parables? You know what? Here's what he's trying to make sure they understand. I am not hiding it from anyone. You don't light a lamp to hide something. No one does that. Not me or anyone else. Do you see that? I'm not hiding it. Okay, then the question is, why then don't people get it? Why does he give? Because remember his answer to the disciples? It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them, it has not been given. Why is it God's mysteries and understanding given to some and not given to others? Very simply. You know, Jesus answered that question. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek. Knock. And did he stop there just in case someone didn't get the point? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. So now let's go back and answer the question by the illustration. Why is the answer given to the disciples? Because they ask. They got with Jesus. They stayed with Jesus. When John the Baptist had his disciples, do you realize that James and John were first disciples of John the Baptist? And when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You know what they did immediately? They took off after Jesus and they wanted to know where he was staying and who he was. And guess what? They were two of the first disciples. Do you think if anyone in the crowd had come to Jesus and said, "Would you please explain this to me?" He would have said, "No." You know why some of us don't have God's understanding? We're not asking for it. And you know why we're not asking for it? You know, there's a primary reason we don't ask for more understanding. Primary reason. And a lot of people miss it. You know the main reason people don't ask for understanding? Because they think they already have it. You already think you know. I already know about the Bible. I've read it before. I've been to church. I've been there. I've done that. I know about that. Sure, okay. Be it done unto you according to your faith. But you know what Jesus said about little children? And remember what he said? Except you become as a child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. What is it about children like Joshua back there and Jacob and Pavlik and Agatha back there and Ella? What is it about the guys like this? And Alice, what is it about guys like that? And Emma, what is it about them at that age? What are they always doing? Why? What? Explain. Why is he doing that? Are we there? How much longer? They are not satisfied to not know. They want to know. They want to be in. And you know, it's more than that. They are involved. Let me do that. Let me help. Let me try. I want to. That's their attitude. And that attitude makes a difference in how much we grow spiritually. Because the illustration or the implication is this. Therefore, let me finish this part. Therefore, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. You see? Take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, he doesn't actually have. A lot of people know very little about the Bible precisely because they think they already know it. Yes. That's precisely why they don't read it, because they say they already have. I've been in the scripture 45 years and I feel like it's a Jacques Cousteau time every time I open it. There's more treasure to be discovered. There's dynamic truth. There's wisdom and guidance and protection and counsel. And I can't get enough.
Amen.
And some people think I've already got it. I don't need it. I'm too busy for that. That's fine. Be it done unto you according to your faith. How you hear will affect how much you have. And that's what Jesus was saying. He's not hiding the truth from anybody. He gives to those who are asking. It's all we have. And so what is the implication? That's the key. The key, you see his declaration after he gave the parable? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see that what let him hear means? Decide to listen. What do we say to somebody when they're just kind of standing there? And we're talking to them and we know they're not paying attention. What do we tell them?
Hello.
You're not listening. Pay attention to me. When I used to be in trouble, it happened. Like most of you. My dad would get close to me. My dad was a very patient man. But especially if I was rude or ugly to my mom, my patient dad could have a passion. Control. He was control. But it was like, you better hear me. Well, I think you're right there. Of course I hear you. He was speaking to something different. He wasn't speaking to my ears, was he? He's after my heart. And when God speaks to us, we can tune him out, can't we? We say it, don't we? In one ear and out the other. We can do that. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me tell you before I go to the implication, let me tell you about a proverb. Proverbs chapter 2. I love it. It's such a description about those who find wisdom and understanding. It says, my son, if you receive my sayings, casting your ear for instruction, casting your heart to discipline, if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will find the fear of the Lord and understand the knowledge of God. If it's that intentional, if it's that your pursuit, because you know what's already natural? You know what you are already good at, the things that you are good at in your life? You know what you're already good at? The things that interest you. That's the, wherever a man's treasure is. What? I finished that. Wherever a man's treasure is your heart in it? Is your heart really in it? Man. Now this is the implication. Let's look at the implication for us. How we hear affects our spiritual growth. Poor hearing will stunt maturity. Poor hearing will stunt maturity, and good hearing will stimulate it. Let's look at this verse in Hebrews chapter 5. Speaking of Christ as the Melchizedek, the high priest in the Old Testament. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say, but it's become hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You see the difficulty Jesus is in, or a pastor is in, or a Sunday school teacher is in, or even a good friend is in. Anyone is in a difficult position trying to explain the mysteries of God to someone who's become dull of hearing. You can't make up the ground. There's too great a discrepancy. If the passion in the person seeking to explain these beautiful truths meets someone who's kind of disinterested and already preoccupied with other things, it's just not going to bear the fruit. And look what he goes on to say, the writer of Hebrews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's just a babe. But solid food, it belongs to the mature. And look at this. Who by reason of use, they have trained their senses to discern good and evil. They've trained them. The Greek word is gymnazo, for training. It's where we get the English word gym. You know why? And it's pretty obvious why some guys have bigger, are those biceps? Is that what they call those? Can't you tell? No. If I looked like this, I wouldn't have to tell you anything and you'd know where I'd been. Right? You know where I spend my time. You know, it's interesting how important it is to now to have a set of a six pack here, you know, abs. You know, I want to see some spiritual abs here. Have you been working out? Have you been exercising your senses? Everybody knows how important physical health is. And they know that if you don't use it, you... Come on, they know that. But what happens? What happens to us? Where do we lose our mind when it comes to spiritual truth? We just grow... Growth is just automatic? Not according to Jesus. Growth is intentional. It's focused. It's deliberate. It'll be done unto you according to you. How you hear, how you use, it'll be measured to you. Jesus gave this example in Matthew chapter 7. And you know what's so sad? Is the enemy of our soul is so good, we don't even get the point of the parable. We teach this parable in a song to kids in kindergarten. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built this. So the kids know that the guy who built his house upon the rock, he stands. The rain came down and the floods came up and the house on the rock stood firm. You know, we sing it. And then the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. You know, and the rains came tumbling down and the house on the sand went smash. And that's great. We know the song. We can even quote the parable and we miss the point. What's the point? What is the man who built his house on the rock like? What's he like? Find it up there. What's he like? What was Jesus saying? That man is like. He's like a man who hears my word and does it. If you just hear and you don't do, you know what we are? The foolish man. You realize church members can be foolish men? The people in the world aren't even hearing the word of God. If we come in here and we hear what's being preached and we don't do it, you know what? I see it all the time. I see those who come and listen and they don't put it into practice and they go home and trouble comes and their house goes boom! Down they go. They get caught in some kind of snare. They get addicted to some kind of thing. All because they weren't putting into practice what is being taught. How do you stop that? How do you, if I could come home with you, which I don't need to because the Holy Spirit does go home with every one of us. What he'd be saying is every instance, hundreds of times during the week, we have an opportunity to put into practice, right? What we hear. How many of you have heard about this most powerful force of evil in the human body? What is the most powerful force of evil in the human body? The tongue. Right? The world of evil among the parts of the body. It sets the course of nature on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. How many of us heard all our life that it's wise to be careful in what you say? All your life. How many of you have learned that yet? How many of you no longer get yourself in trouble with your mouth? You know, here's what James says. Do you see a man who considers himself religious, but does not keep a tight bridle on his tongue? The man deceives himself and his religion is worthless. You know why he's saying it's worthless? Religion that simply listens and nods the head but doesn't do is worthless religion. It's worthless. The lesson is we got to do what we hear. as we close, James 1, you're familiar with this. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. What happens if you're a hearer only? Deceiving yourself. The devil's not deceiving you. What does it mean? What does it mean to deceive yourself? In what way does a person who listens but doesn't do, and how do they deceive themselves? You know how? They think they're good because they agree with God. I believe the Bible's inspired. I never read it. I believe that Jesus taught perfect truth, every word from His Father. Do I meditate on what He said regularly? You see? If you're just giving a mental agreement, and it literally makes no impact on your life, That's deceiving ourselves. That's what it means to deceive ourselves. And sadly, it's interesting. He deceives himself. He didn't deceive his wife, does he? She sees what's going on. He doesn't deceive the children. They see what's going on. He doesn't deceive the neighbor. The neighbor sees what's going on. The only person deceived about his real condition is himself. Let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works. Good works. When we are actually doing what Jesus calls us to do, it is a good work. And you know, good works are obvious. When I show up to work and I'm allowing the words of Jesus to control my mouth and my attitude, in my relationships, my co-workers can see it. They see it. I'm not deceiving myself. They're not expecting me to be perfect. But they can tell the difference in a person who's sincere and dedicated, can't they? They can tell the difference between a person who's very sincere and dedicated and a person who's just kind of hypocritically religious. They know. So back to James. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself and goes away, and immediately he forgets what he's like. Forgets what he really looks like. I imagine I look like Charles Bronson. I'm just deceiving myself because I don't. But he, listen to this, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is God's word, and does not forget what he has heard, but does it. Now he's not a forgetful hearer, he's a doer. He will be blessed in what he does. So, just a last quick warning, all right? Use it or lose it. You got a Bible. Got a Bible. Use it and you will grow in understanding. Use it. You know, if some of you used your scriptures regularly, you might know more of it than I do. It's not how long you've been in church that causes growth. It's how earnest you are to know that causes growth. And so some young, earnest believers are far more spiritually mature than older, indifferent, dull, sluggish believers. The difference is how we hear, okay? That's the key. How we hear is the key to dynamic spiritual growth. Last illustration and I'm done. Jesus at 12 years old. Do you remember what he was doing at 12 years old? Who can tell me what Jesus was doing at 12 years old? Where did they, remember his parents couldn't find him? After two or three days, they found him in the temple. What was he doing? Huh? Ah, thank you. I asked this the other day and two men said he was teaching. He was teaching the elders. And they missed it. He wasn't teaching. He was sitting there like a child does, asking questions. Yes, Emma. And you know what? You know what I believe he was asking? What do you think? What do you think Isaiah meant in this passage? And I bet it caught the teachers by surprise. And what do you think Ezekiel was meaning when he wrote this? Because how else would they have been astonished at his wisdom? Because the kind of questions he was asking showed how much interest he had in knowing. Isn't that beautiful? May that be the... Let's ask the Lord to do that in our hearts. Samuel, if you'll turn the lights on. Bow your heads with me, if you would.